You're listening to a message from Victory. Join us as we dive into the book of Romans to understand more about the power of the gospel in our series, The Gospel Explained.
Hello everyone and welcome to our online worship service here in Victory Metro East. We're so glad that you're able to join us today. Now, let us continue on with our series, The Gospel Explained. It is our hope that we will have a clear understanding of the power of the gospel at maintindihan po natin yung implication po nito sa ating mga buhay as we study the book of Romans. So, let us go right ahead in reading our text for today in Romans chapter 6, verses 15 to 18. Basahin po natin. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Let us pray. Lord, we commit to you the preaching of your word. Holy Spirit, enable us to grasp and understand the power of the gospel in our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last week, natutunan po natin that the reason we must not continue in sin is that we are dead to sin. And bilang mga believers, hindi lang po tayo pinalaya from the slavery of sin, but also from the power of sin as well. Sinabi rin po natin that sin no longer holds any authority over us. Therefore, wag na po natin i-allow yung sin to reign in our bodies. Kasi nga naman, how can someone who is dead continue to live in sin? And we are not only dead to sin, but because of the resurrection of Christ, we are made alive with Christ so that we will be able to walk in newness of life. So, ibig sabihin po nito, if we have truly encountered the grace of God, no, we can experience a changed life. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you can say that your life has changed when you learned how to ride a bike? You know, marami po nagsasabi that riding a bike is not as a non-essential skill. But I beg to disagree because riding a bike gave me confidence to overcome my fears and to be persistent kahit na ilang beses pa akong sumimpla. Kahit mga bike riders from all walks of life experience a sense of freedom while riding their bike, whether they are racing, going to work, traveling, or simply doing or going around the neighborhood. Naalala niyo pa po ba nung una kayong natuto magbisikleta? You know, majority of people learn how to ride a bike at a young age. Ako po, natuto po ako magbisikleta when I was 6 or 7 years old. And some learned when they were already adults and some never learned at all. But nevertheless, when we were learning how to ride a bike, we first learned how to balance on the wheels and pedal down the street. Pero isa po sa mga struggles po natin nung nagsisimula tayo magbike is paano huminto. You know, the only way we know how to stop is to run into something. Eh, hindi ko po alam kung na-experience nyo na po bumangga sa gate ng bahay nyo or sa gate ng kapitbahay, sa mga puno, o kaya naman tumilapon sa sidewalk. So the only way we are able to stop is to run into things and get hurt in the process. But there's another way to stop aside from running into things. A provision has been made so that we can stop the bicycle without crashing and injuring ourselves. Ang kailangan lang po natin gawin is to press the brakes gently. And it is not enough for us that we know the bike has brakes. What we do need is to actually do it kapag oras na or dapat na tayo huminto. What good does it do to have a bicycle na mayroong provision for stopping pero hindi po natin ginagamit? We might as well not have any brakes at all. Pero kapag natuto na po tayo gumamit ng preno, eventually all this will become second nature to us. So what does this have to do with our message for today? You know the question the Apostle Paul raises in the passage that we have read. Sabi niya ron, are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? Paul was actually referring to believers who continue to live in sin as a lifestyle. Kumbaga, they were saying, if we are saved apart from works, then we have no obligation to obey the law now that we are Christians. Naniniwala sila that they can simply live however they want. But what good is it to be set free by from sin by Jesus and walk in newness of life if we ignore to press the brakes and continue to live in sin as though we were slaves to sin? And this is a practical problem every Christian is wrestling with. And maybe this is where some of you are today. Alam mo that you have been freed from the penalty of sin dahil sa grasya ng Panginoon, but when you are faced with sinful hazards that will derail your relationship with God, nag-struggle ka ngayon to put on the brakes to avoid crashing into sin and making you a slave once again. But when we choose to hit the brakes and live righteously based on the grace of God on a daily basis, magiging second nature din po sa atin to live righteously. So now, Paul makes three important lessons why Christians should not live in sin with the illustration of slavery. Sabi sa verse 16, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness?" So the first lesson that we can learn is the position of slavery. We are slaves to whomever we obey, either we are slaves of sin or slaves of obedience to God. Ito pong imagery of slavery are very familiar to the first century Christians in Rome to whom Paul wrote this letter. Ang slavery po kasi played a big part in the culture of Rome dahil po they performed much of the labor and hard work that helped build the Roman Empire. And during this time, it was also believed that there were millions of slaves in the Roman Empire. As many as one-third of the population were slaves. And historians even estimated that at least one-half of the Roman church were or had been slaves. Kaya nga po, ang slavery was that common to everyday life. Kapag naisip po natin yung slavery, we think of people who were taken captured as spoils of war and were forced to become slaves. But many who become slaves, and this might surprise you, actually sold themselves into slavery because they are in debt or they are unable to provide for themselves. And this is what it means when Paul said, or when Paul used the phrase, "present yourselves." It has the idea of voluntarily subjecting oneself to someone more powerful, which was common in the first century. So to present yourself is to surrender yourself up completely to fulfill the desire of their master. Nagkaroon na po ba kayo ng classmate na laging nagpre-presenta kung may inuutos si teacher, kung mayroong bubuhatin kung tuwing may recitation or gagawing school project o kaya laging involved sa lahat ng mga school programs? And this is what it looks like to present yourself, to give yourself completely to someone. So, kung titingnan po natin yung salitang slave in Greek, it is translated as doulos. It means one who gives himself up completely to a master. And yung slave po is different from a servant. Dahil po ang slave is much lower than a servant. Yung servant po kasi, they still had some degree of freedom. Pwede silang tumanggap or umayaw sa trabaho. Pwede siya magkaroon ng property, makatanggap ng sweldo, at makauwi sa kanyang bahay. But a slave is owned by someone else. He had no independence, no self-autonomy, and no personal rights. In fact, former criminals had more rights than slaves. The reality is all of us are somebody's slaves. May iba ayaw magpasakop kay Kristo because they don't want to give up their freedom. Hindi na nila magagawa kung ano ang gusto nilang gawin. But in fact, they are already enslaved by sin. And we may think we are calling the shots. We may think that we are doing what we want to do. But we are controlled by one or the other of these two masters, either sin or God. Sinasabi sa atin ng Bible, a person is a slave to whom he chooses to obey. Bago po tayo naging Christian, wala po tayong choice kundi to obey sin. We are forced to obey sin because that was our nature. Kahit po gumagawa po tayo ng mga mabubuting bagay, our good works are still tainted with evil. Kasi po, sabi po sa Bible, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. But Christ has already freed us from sin and gave us a new nature. As believers, alam na po natin that sin is no longer a habit to us. We also know that sin is no longer a lifestyle to us. But it has become a choice to a person who has experienced the resurrection power of God. Kung dati, wala nang isip-isip kung magmumura ba tayo o hindi, wala nang isip-isip if we will commit immorality or not, now, we can choose between obeying sin or obeying God. The master we obey reveals whose slaves we are. Sabi nga po ni Martin Luther, you're either God's donkey or the devil's donkey. But make no mistake, you are a donkey and you will be ridden either by God or by the devil. And kung tutuloy po natin sa verse 17, sinabi po ni Paul, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin have become slaves of righteousness. So makita po natin, Paul burst into thanksgiving when those in Rome and all who make up the church had a change of masters and were no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. The radical change began with hearing a standard of teaching which refers to the gospel truth. Kumbaga, they believed the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ, who lived and died for man's sin. And through his resurrection, he proved he is the Son of God and offers forgiveness and salvation to those who repent and believe. They committed themselves to the truth that was given to them and became obedient to the word of God wholeheartedly. And Paul said, they have become obedient from the heart. Kung titignan po natin yung job description po ng isang slave, it is simply to obey, period. Yun lang po yung job description niya. But there are slaves who obey, but they do not do so from their hearts. Diba, when you hate your boss to the core, tapos may pinapagawa sa'yo, you do it merely to conform externally. But not so for these Roman believers. By His grace, they had obeyed from their hearts with deep sincerity and conviction, for they had been freed from sin and now have become slaves of righteousness. Now, ngayon, to be free from sin means that sin is no longer our boss. Sin is no longer our master. Righteousness became our boss. So we are to serve righteousness instead of sin. Halimbawa po, nag-change po kayo ng company. Okay, syempre kapag nag-change ka ng company, nag-change ka rin ng boss. And on your first day in your new company, umalis ka sa trabaho mo, you went to your former employer and asked your former boss, what do you want me to do, boss? Diba, hindi naman tama yun dahil meron ka ng new position, meron ka ng bagong boss. So bakit ka pa babalik sa dati mong employer kung meron ka ng bagong boss? Diba? So, now, titingnan natin that Paul shifts the focus from position, diba, from being slaves to sin to righteousness, and now he focuses on the practice, as we will read in verse 19. It says, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. So the second lesson that we can learn is the practice of slavery. We are willing participants of either lawlessness or sanctification. Now, the idea of being a slave of God may not sound pleasant. Hindi po maganda pakinggan, no? Pagka sinabi natin slave of God. But Paul made it clear that he is speaking in human terms. Ibig sabihin po nito, this metaphor is not exactly a perfect illustration. Dahil po, alam po ni Paul, there are certain aspects of slavery like cruelty, humiliation, and fear that he would not want to attribute to God. He's simply saying it is just a human way to describe one aspect of our relationship with God. Tandaan po natin, the Bible uses several ways to describe our relationship with Him. He described our relationship with Him as friend, as children, as sheep. And in this particular case, He used the term slave so that it will make sense to the Romans for them to better understand and emphasize the importance of obeying God. So dito po, Paul seeks to show how the lifestyle of a person corresponds to who their master is. In short, we live and act according to who our master is. Sabi po sa scripture, they formerly presented their members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. Ano po bang ibig sabihin ng impurity and lawlessness? That is a description of what we are and what we did bago po tayo na-save. But unfortunately, there are Christians who continue to live impure and lawless lives. Impurity refers to all types of sexual sins, such as premarital sex, adultery, rape, homosexual acts, and other sexual deviations. Kapag patuloy po tayong namumuhay sa kasalanan, we are enslaved to impurity, we are defiling our own bodies. Sabi sa 1 Corinthians 6:18-20, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not of your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body. So the human body was actually designed to serve and worship God, and it need not be defiled. Ngayon, tignan naman natin yung word na lawlessness. So lawlessness is the refusal to acknowledge and submit to God's sovereign right of rulership. Lawless people have no regard for the law, and it leaves man without absolute moral guidance. Kumbaga, complete disregard for the law. For example, alam po, meron po tayong batas or ordinance na kapag lalabas, kailangan magsuot ng mask. So may mga lumalabag po sa ordinance na to. May mga iba who are not exercising social distancing. They show complete disregard sa batas. And gusto ko rin pong maintindihan po natin, when we continue to present our bodies to lawlessness, we are not just violating God's law, but it also means we are abolishing the law as if the law does not exist. Para pong nagde-declare po tayo ng rebellion against God outrightly. Kasi we are telling God in your face, ito yung law, ito yung mga commands mo, God. I will completely disregard it as if it doesn't exist. So when we give ourselves to impurity and lawlessness, hindi po nasasatisfy yung mga needs po natin. It only made us crave for more, and the tendency for us is to commit worse and worse sins. Halimbawa na lang po, if we feed our lust with a little bit of pornography, it is like pouring gas sa nagliliyab na apoy. Instead of extinguishing it, lalo siyang liliyab at kakalat. Di ba po, kapag nagsisinungaling po tayo, yung isang kasinungalingan, manganganak ng isa pang kasinungalingan. And before you know it, it will become out of hand, and it makes it difficult for you to come clean. And this is what it means when we say, lawlessness leads to more lawlessness. You know, a few months ago, we saw what happened in the U.S. where an African-American was killed by a white police officer and sparked massive protests across the country. Ito po mga protests na to regressed into lawlessness. It caused riots, injuries, vandalism, even looting, fires, and destruction of properties. And nagsimula lang po ito sa isang act of lawlessness. And that is the death of George Floyd, which led to more lawlessness. So the life of sin leads us to further sin. Para po siyang cancer that grows until it's spread to other organs that can lead to death. On the other hand, Paul commands those in Christ to also present themselves as slaves of righteousness, the same way they formerly presented themselves as slaves of impurity and lawlessness. Sabi ni Paul, so now, present your members as slaves to righteousness. Kumbaga, Paul is saying to the Roman believers to make this their top priority. They are to present their bodies to righteousness and they are to do it now. So what does it mean to present ourselves as slaves to righteousness? It means that the life we now live, we are to live for God. His will matters to us more than our own will, and we are committed to obey His commands. Every aspect of our lives must be presented to the Lordship of Christ. And ito pong life of surrender and obedience will lead us to our sanctification. Kapag sinabi po natin sanctification, it comes from the same root word as holy and saint. It means to be separated from sin and set apart unto holiness. And sanctification is a work of God's grace in our lives. And we participate in that work by continually turning away from sin and demonstrating our faith in Christ by obeying His commands. Kapag sinabi po natin sanctification, para po siyang renovation project, meron po tayong sinisirang mga old structure and mga tinatayong new ones. And even though that we know that we are dead to sin, it doesn't mean that we will never be tempted by sin. Hindi po ibig sabihin ito that we will be immune to sinning. But when we do obey sin's evil desires, makaka-experience po tayo ng conviction from the Holy Spirit. Ang Holy Spirit po enables us to hate and despise sin and brings us to repentance and seek God's deliverance from it. And that is why ang sanctification po is not just a one-time event. It is a process that takes place in a Christian's life of becoming more and more like Christ from the moment we were born again until the moment we enter heaven. And as we continually submit ourselves to righteousness, we are set apart for God's purposes and pursue growing in godliness so that we will reflect Christ more in our lives. So whichever side you are, no one will remain morally neutral. It's either you will be slipping back into more sin or overcoming sin towards sanctification. So a while ago, we've talked about the position of slavery, the practice of slavery. Now we're going to talk about the fruit of slavery. The fruit of our allegiance is either death or eternal life. Sabi sa verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Tayo po, we are free to choose between two masters, but we are not free to manipulate the consequences of our choice. And each of the two masters bore different fruits. The fruit of slavery to sin is death. Kala po natin, para lang po ito sa mga unbelievers, pero even in the life of a believer, it applies. When we choose to be slaves to sin, we are bringing death to fellowship with God. It brings death to our joyful relationship with God. Kasi hindi na po natin na-enjoy yung presence ni God when we're living in sin because of shame and guilt. Pangalawa, we bring death to relationships. Nakikita po natin mga broken marriages, ruined friendships, and relational discord. They are always the result of somebody's sinful attitudes and actions. And lastly, it brings physical death. When we indulge in sin, some Christians are killing themselves with anger, bitterness. They are killing themselves with extreme worry. Some have even contracted fatal diseases because of sexual promiscuity. While others, they are destroying their bodies by abusing themselves through alcohol or tobacco or even other prohibited substances. Ngayon, bakit po tayo magstay in a slavery that promises nothing but death? No, those who do so are foolish. On the other hand, the fruit of slavery to God is eternal life. And in this particular verse, eternal life refers to our glorification. This is the final aspect of our salvation, when we will stand faultless in the presence of God. And in that moment, what remains of our sin will be erased. Only our new man will remain. And then in verse 23, Paul summarizes the end results of each of the two slaveries. Una, ginamit niya our agricultural metaphor, which is the fruit. And now he's using a financial metaphor, which is wages. Diba, sabi lang, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Kung titingnan natin yung word na wages, this is used for a Roman soldier's pay. It is something that he has earned, he has worked for, and nobody could deny it from him. And in the same way, tayo rin po, we deserve our wages because of sin. And pansinin po natin yung word na sin, it is in a singular form. That means one sin alone, we will be eternally separated from God in hell. Kahit po kinoconsider po natin yung sarili natin na mabait na tao tayo, pero if we commit, if we commit one sin a day and in a year, we have committed 365 sins, multiply that by your age, then we are more than deserving to receive our wages, which is death. And fortunately, God is offering us a gift. Kapag sinabi po natin regalo, this is something that we cannot earn, something that we cannot buy by our good works or religiosity or any other means that man can do. Itong regalo na to, it is freely given. Pusang loob siyang ibinibigay, and it doesn't cost us anything because someone has already paid for it. Nothing in life comes free, diba? Parang laging may nagbabayad nun for it to be free. And para masabi ito isang regalo, kailangan din itong tanggapin. It must be received. So God is offering us this gift of eternal life. He paid the ultimate price for our salvation by dying on the cross. And we can receive this gift by putting our faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And as I close, we are currently facing a health crisis because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Because of the virus, lives were lost, economies struggled, and faith were even tested. And the virus is actually a living organism. Kailangan po nito ng host para makapag-survive so that it could inflict widespread infection and damage sa ating mga vital organs. And tanggalin natin yung host, and this virus remains dormant, and eventually it will die by itself. So in a similar way, ganun din po mag-work yung sin. Ang sin po, nangangailangan po siya ng host to stay alive. So by themselves, sins such as greed, anger, lust, they are just mere words. But when sin enters a human host, it works to destroy as long as the host is alive. Thankfully, dahil po sa sacrificial death ni Jesus Christ on that cross, tayo po mga Kristiyano have been positionally freed from sin. We have been set free from sin. And even though we still sin, the Holy Spirit who lives in us helps us to resist this sin virus, leading us to practice righteous living. And now, we are walking with God, walking with His Spirit, and one day we will stand faultless before God, receiving the fruit of being slaves of God, which is eternal life. So now we are presented with a choice. When we are confronted with a question, whose slave are you? Will you make the right choice? Will you choose being a slave to sin or being a slave to God? So make the right choice and live your life voluntarily yet radically as a slave to Jesus Christ, because being a slave to Christ is far more blessed and rewarding than any other thing in this world. So let me just end by praying for all of us. Lord, maraming salamat for the word that we have heard today, and I pray, Father, that you will bless each and every one of us, especially those brothers in Christ who are struggling with sin, believers who are having a hard time overcoming a particular area in their life. Na para bang paulit-ulit na lang, it's been a cycle and they're going round in circles. And I pray, Father, that just as you have given them, Lord, the power, Lord, to break bondages, I pray, Lord, that they will be able, Lord, to say no to ungodliness and yes to righteousness. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will move in their lives, that you will bring a strong conviction, that they will despise sin, they will hate sin, and it will lead them to repent, and it will cause them, Lord, to desire for holy dissatisfaction, and they will seek you and honor you with their lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And if this is your first time and you haven't actually received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, hindi mo pa na-represent yung sarili mo as a slave of God, and I want to give you an opportunity to make that choice, to surrender yourself under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Just as we have heard a while ago, that parang God is offering us a free gift, a gift of eternal life through faith in Christ. And if that is you, kindly follow this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I am in need of a Savior. And here I am today, presenting myself, presenting my body, my heart, and my mind to be a slave of God. I surrender my will under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I accept Him and receive Him as my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And if that is you and you sincerely pray that prayer, kindly do message us. We want to connect with you and get in touch with you and share with you what's the next step and how you can grow in your decision in following Christ. So let me just pray a prayer of blessing for all of us. Lord, maraming salamat, God. And I pray, Father, that you will bless each and every one of us tremendously, that you will pour out your Spirit so that we will be able, Lord God, to honor you with our mind, with our heart, with our lips, with our hands. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing, for the gift of eternal life that you have placed upon every believer today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everyone, and have a great week ahead.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were encouraged by the message. For more podcasts and updates, and to give online, visit victory.org.ph or download the Victory app.